So I was asked to comment on the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine from my perspective. And I have two perspectives. I'm the Vice Chancellor for Health Sciences at UC San Diego, but I'm also a reformed hepatologist. So I thought I would give you both perspectives. From the Vice Chancellor's point of view, this has been an amazing program for us, for everyone on Torrey Pines Mesa, and UC San Diego in particular. It's the largest commitment that I've ever participated in outside the NIH to promote research. It's a $3 billion commitment over 10 years. It's governed by a board, the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee, of which I'm a member. And it's an interesting combination of different people, of scientists, of patient advocates, and of members of the biotechnology community. To the best of my knowledge, I came 2 years after it started, this was largely driven by one person who's here today, Bob Klein, and it was really his vision of the importance of stem cells to for therapy and the inability of the NIH to fulfill that mission in the past that led to this creation. And we are, you know, the envy of all our colleagues throughout the world to have this head start, to have this infrastructure on stem cells. But as, you know, as the rules have changed, I think the CIRM has also changed. And it's evolved not just to introduce human stem cells, but as you heard from all the speakers, it's evolved to look at all aspects of stem cell research and not to have any limits, not, you know, embryonic stem cells versus iPS versus other cells, but just the idea that we have to develop diagnostics and therapies, and that the clock is ticking, and this is needed to go, and all the technologies you've heard about today are available. Last week, I guess it was, the first disease-specific grants were announced. And these are large consortiums of very, very talented scientists from industry, from academia, from all sorts of institutions. And the three, there are many that the Mace is involved with, but the three that I know best are a large consortium to study leukemia, to study ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and to study medulloblastoma. For us here on the Torrey Pines, I think this is a natural extension of the unique collaborations and synergies on the Mesa. We were the only group that put together a consortium to build a new facility. Our colleagues at UCSF and Stanford, et cetera, were not capable of doing that. It was only Burnham, Scripps, Salk and UC San Diego that was able to put this together. And it builds on this long history of everything. You've seen many people have joint appointments, but virtually everyone has joint appointments. Howard Hughes Medical Institute is jointly run between institutions. There are many imaging facilities that are jointly run on the Mesa. Many grants and program projects. The neurobiology program, which many people consider the best in the world, is a joint program between institutions on the Mesa. I don't know if it's a secret or not, Bob, but we did get the highest score for a facility grant. It's probably a poorly kept secret. But I think it reflects the quality of the science in this audience. And I also want to identify John Moores, Malin Burnham, and Erwin Jacobs as the three leaders in San Diego who want this to happen, who interact with all the different institutions on the Mesa, and decide that this is how we're going to approach stem cell research. And then Denny Sanford is here, gave a naming gift and really pushed us over the top to become a consortium of scientific institutions. So despite, in many ways, this being the worst year for science in my memory, it's been a record year largely because of the ARA, the stimulus package, and the CIRM funding. And I know this is not only true for UC San Diego, my colleagues, at Burnham, Salk, and TSRI also, I've seen and told me about how successful they've been. So more than any other non-federal institution, CIRM has made a difference for this Mesa and the success of research here. So now our goals are really twofold. We have to convert this momentum into permanent programs. We have to, between academic industrial partnerships, other stable sources, take what CIRM, the 10 years, and convert it into something that will last for a generation. And I think this is a very good model. I think the future is in large, multi-institutional consortiums that we will not duplicate resources, we will have synergies, and that we'll be able to share our resources to make it a great platform for young scientists to develop the programs here. And the last thing, as the vice chancellor, is that it's not enough to have done that, that if we do not convert this into new diagnostic tests and therapies, we would not have been successful. That the bar is much higher for CIRM than it is for the NIH, that we're expected to have therapies at the end of CIRM. And so that's for those of us who do both NIH research and then who do CIRM research, the bar is higher for CIRM, and that we really expect to have therapies at the end of this. Okay, so I just want to make a few comments as a retired hepatologist. Because I didn't know what my perspective was supposed to be for this talk, so I thought I would do both. It's just a few things. First of all, I'm very jealous of hematologists because you're much far ahead of us. But the advantage that the liver has is that the hepatocyte itself, mature hepatocyte, is able to regenerate. So for the longest time, it was unclear if there were stem cells in the liver, and if there are, where they came from. And just since CIRM was founded, this is much clearer. The origin of the stem cell in the adult liver is believed to be in the canal of Herring, right where the right where the bile duct meets the hepatocytes. This is where the precursor to what's called the oval cell in rats and is still being defined in humans. But it looks like there is a stem cell, and I'll try to convince you why I think it's important. So the current thinking now, and I realize it's not nearly as advanced as in hematological stem cells, is that normal circumstances, normal hepatocytes regenerate, you don't see the oval cells. Only when there's a damaged liver and an inhibition of normal hepatocyte regeneration does this oval cell precursor population expand, proliferate, migrate, and then has bipolar potential. It can either become a hepatocyte or a cholangiocyte, the two parenchymal cells in the liver. Since CIRM has been founded, the markers that define the oval cell have been identified. Almost all of this, except for the very beginning, this OVA6 in the rats, which has preceded CIRM. Everything else has been either borrowed from hematological stem cells or have been discovered antibodies, all these since CIRM was developed. So all our whole understanding of stem cell biology in the liver has really been post-CIRM. And the previous speakers referred to this, but it looks like there are common progenitor cells that represent both the liver, the bile ducts, cholangiocytes, the hepatocytes, as well as the pancreatic precursor cells. So the enthusiasm for this is sky high because of the interest in diabetes, as well as the interest in chronic and acute liver disease. I added this, though, not because anyone believes that embryonic stem cells are the source in the adult of these cells, but if we're going to do therapy, which is our goal, this would be the most likely source. That the concerns about the iPS cells that everyone talked about earlier today are well noted. So whether it will be embryonic stem cells themselves or these inducible pluripotential cells, the iPS cells, these will be the source of hepatocytes. These will be used in acute chronic liver failure in this pathway, and probably also in the pancreatic cells, whether endocrine or acinar. During the time that CIRM was developed, there was a lot of interest in whether or not bone marrow-derived cells can become hepatocytes. And I think that has largely disproven in a couple of years since CIRM has been developed, including investigators from CIRM and elsewhere. There are hematological stem cells that contribute to the liver, but not as hepatocytes. And this is just a recent experiment from Victor Nizé and Kisaliva, where they purified precursor cells from the bone marrow, follow them to the liver, but show they actually contribute to development of DNA traps for killing bacteria. In other words, there are very important functions that the bone marrow contributes to normal hepatic physiology, but the overwhelming data in 2009 is that it's not at the level of hepatocytes and hepatocyte replacement. So I think even this most recent data emphasizes how important embryonic stem cells and how important the iPS cells are going to be to develop new therapies for liver disease and pancreatic disease and for diabetes. And I will stop there right on time. And thank you for lunch.